Welcome back. Come along as we dig into God's Word and search for truth, understanding, and a closer relationship with Him. This is Steve, and you're listening to the Dig Bible Podcast Corner. Welcome back to the Dig Bible Podcast Corner. It is great to have you listening. I'm really excited about this week, talking about this. Something that I think is so important. My dad's favorite Bible verse always was 1 Peter 3:15. It's, you know, always be able to defend the reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. We always need to be able to defend the reason for the hope that we have. When someone comes to us, it's not a Christian, and says, "Well, how can you believe in Jesus? How can there's no proof? There's nothing like that. Like, how can you believe in God? Or, you know, how do you believe the Bible? My gosh, you know, that's a fair question. You know, we're taught something. You know, we believe it, and obviously, a huge part of everything that goes into God, one of the biggest parts, obviously, is our faith." We have faith that Jesus died on the cross for us. We have faith that God promised us salvation. We have faith. But always be able to have an answer and defend the reason for the hope that you have. Always have that. So if we look at some things, and I think this is cool because God always leaves little Easter eggs and things like this for us. And you always wonder, why is there certain things in the Bible? You know, you wonder some things, and we've always said it, Michael Heiser's thing was always, if it's weird, it's probably important. But it's not just if it's weird. A lot of times there's just a little bit of a, I don't know what the best way of saying it, just a little nugget that's left there, and it doesn't make sense why. Why would that be right there? It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to show you a couple of things here, and how they show the truth of the Bible. And a couple things that you can use to help defend your faith to somebody who brings up one of these questions to you. And this is not even just defending, but this is bringing someone to, giving them some proof. So that they, if they don't have faith yet, this can help strengthen that faith. It can help strengthen your faith. I love things that show me that, of course, the Bible's true, but when you see something else that pops out and says, wow, look at this. Do you know not one archaeological discovery ever has gone against something the Bible said? Not one. It's pretty amazing when you think about that, first of all. But so many of the ones that have been found continue to prove what the Bible said. But first, we're going to start just a little verse here in Acts. It says, when Paul was about to be brought to the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Then are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" But Paul said, "I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city. I beg you, allow me to speak to the people." That's the one time you hear about it, the Egyptian. The Egyptian who led a revolt. Now, and this is a really cool thing. If you look back, we can see in some of the either ancient church fathers or even some of the historians of the time actually talk about different events in the Bible. In history books, Josephus is one set person who did this, who was not a Christian, but who talked about Jesus, who talked about different people of this nature and different events that happened. And Josephus, actually, in two of his different books, one in the Antiquity of the Jews and one of the War of the Jews, writes about an Egyptian false prophet. I'll read the first one here from the Antiquity of the Jews. It says, "Moreover, there came out of Egypt about this time to Jerusalem one that said he was a prophet and advised the multitude of common people to go along with him to the Mount of Olives, as it was called, which lay over and against the city. And at a distance of 5 furlongs. He said further that he would show them from hence how, at his command, the walls of Jerusalem would fall down, and he promised them that he would procure them entrance into the city through the walls when they were fallen down. And now Felix, let's think about this, Felix, this is when Paul was there. Later on, Felix was still in control. Now, when Felix was informed of these things, he was ordered his soldiers to take their weapons and came against him, and a great number of horsemen and footmen from Jerusalem and attacked the Egyptian and the people that were with him. He also slew 400 of them and took 200 alive, but the Egyptian himself escaped out of the fight but did not appear anymore. So we see him talk about this Egyptian who started an insurrection, just like it talked about in the book of Acts. In the book, The War of the Jews, he says, but there was an Egyptian false prophet that did the Jews more mischief than the former, for he was a cheat and pretended to be a prophet also, and got together 30,000 men that were deluded by him and led them around from the wilderness to the mount, which they call the Mount of Olives. So we have all this from separate history books, from a non-Christian separate history book, which, you know, if we look at our history books today in schools, everybody's pretty quick to believe everything you read in those. And we're getting this from a book of antiquity. We're getting this from Josephus, a historian of that time, who would have been, if not right there, would have been not very far removed from some of these events. So you're seeing a connection. You're seeing the Bible's referring to this. One little section that God allows to be inspired in that book that talks about Paul being this potential Egyptian, even though he wasn't. Why would they leave that little nugget in there? Oh, to show you, look at, in these history books, it talks about the same thing. Now, this was an exciting one. I think it was back in 1993. There was the Tel Dan inscription, which is awesome. It was found. It was an inscription on a stone that they found that talks about the king of Israel and the king of the house of David. It's the first time David's name was ever found on anything. Amazing thing, seeing that just pop up. 1993, King David, talking about him inscribed on a stone, where before that, some secular scholars would have argued that David didn't even exist. But now we have proof. We see it. It's written on the stone. It's right there. Not that we needed proof. We had it in the Bible, which to me is the greatest history book of all time and totally true. But it's always good to have that next extra source, right? The more sources you have, the more validity you can give something. I don't need that with the Bible because of my faith. But for someone who needs the proof, this might be the proof that helps them see that the Bible is so true and so real. Now, this is a cool one. I've pulled this from an article from Answers in Genesis. You know, I think we've all heard the story of Jericho. Jericho, you know, they march around the city, and on the seventh day, they march around 7 times, blow the horns, and the walls come crumbling down. Jericho's been found. This is a city. They know where it is. It's there. And the amazing part, the destruction was totally complete. Like, they have found remnants of wall brick that had fallen to the ground in piles. They found this. Like, why would the walls have all just fallen down? You see some of these ancient structures where you still have the foundation and these parts there. No, that's destroyed. It's there. But the really amazing part is that they found storage jars full of grain that had been burned. They actually found a layer of about 3 feet of ash and debris all the way through the city there at the certain level, which would have been at the time of the Israelite attack, which would have been about 1400 BC. They found a layer of ash. Now, why would that be significant? First of all, you wouldn't burn full jars full of grain if someone had come and ransacked the city. They would take their resources. They wouldn't leave the resources. They would take the resources with them. But Joshua 6:17 says, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. What did they do with the offerings? The offerings were burnt. It was an aroma pleasing to the Lord. See, we see their resources. We see a layer of ash through the city. At the time the Israelites would have done this, according to the Bible, that shows the account's true. It lines up with the Bible. It just continues to amaze me when you see these things. It's unreal. Now, what about Jesus? There's a story in John chapter 9 about how he heals a blind man and tells him to go to the Pool of Siloam. Now, the cool thing is, the Pool of Siloam's been found, the location, it's mentioned in the Old and New Testaments, and they have been able to excavate most of this. They've found, you know, this pool's there. Now, back to Josephus, he talked about Jesus. He talked about him as being a significant character in history at that time. If you look at Clement of Rome and Polycarp, they tell us that Jesus' resurrection was being proclaimed at that time. These are historians of the day. These are early church fathers. These are people that were, they'd have been in the here and now. They would have understood what was happening. They're not far removed from these events. This is what was going on at the time. This isn't even like us talking about George Washington. You know, this is them not far removed from these events. It's pretty amazing. Polycarp died in 155 AD, and Clement of Rome died in 99 AD. So we're right there. I mean, if you look through, we see the towns that Jesus walked in that it talks about in the Bible. You know, we the Sea of Galilee is there. Nazareth is there. You know, they found the remains of Bethsaida. They found these places that are talked about in the Bible. These cities are there. Jesus walked this earth. There's absolutely no doubt. Historically, biblically, we see it. We see it with those other historians. We see it in the works of people at that time. And the amazing part is that, you know, we can look at other religions and we can look at other ideologies and things, but there's nobody who had the witnesses that Jesus did after he resurrected. Witnesses tell a story. Witnesses tell a story. Now, there was a, if you go back and they were talking, there's a high priest named Gamaliel. And he said, when they were talking about, I want to read that part. Hold on just a sec. I'm going to read that. Here it is here. Acts 5:33. It says, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a while. And when he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was killed, and all who followed him dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even find yourself opposing God. Whoa. So think about this. And Jesus even, you know, many false prophets will come. And some of these came before him. And we see these false prophets, their movements, they died out. Why'd they die out? It came to nothing. Because there was nothing behind what they said. There was no truth. There was no conviction. There was no, there's nothing that drove the faith of the people. Now, when you see what has happened with Jesus over the period of 2,000 years, you see where we are right now, to the point that our calendar, when you think about the by years, was named after that such a significant moment before Christ and after Christ. I'm sorry, I'm not buying the common era stuff. Before Christ and Anno Domini, which was after Christ. That was such a significant event that our calendar was based on it. Now, that word and that testimony that everybody had after he was resurrected and they all saw him. You have to think about this. In some of these writings, like Jerome has Peter and Paul actually in the 14th year of Nero's reign dying on the same day. Not dying, well, I guess dying, but being killed. Has Peter being crucified upside down on a cross because he didn't feel like he was worthy to die the death that Christ did. And then you have Paul, who was actually beheaded because being a Roman citizen, they were not allowed to crucify a Roman citizen. So if you think about that, these men that are in history books, their deaths are well recorded, well recorded. They died. They died for something they believed in. Now, if Jesus had been a farce and his resurrection hadn't been real, would they have died for that? Think about the worst lie you've ever told in your life. Would you die for that? I don't think so. These men knew. They didn't just believe, they knew. They were witnesses. And they died for what they believed. They died for their faith. They were true martyrs. They were true martyrs. I want everybody to think about how there's so much truth out there. And this is biblically, I don't need anything other than the Bible. I don't. But it's there. But you have all this other secular information from other historians, from other people who have documented this stuff, from New Age archaeology, the stuff that's going on right now, that all points back to the Bible being true. That all points back. And there's so much more. There's so much more. I'm literally just touching the surface. The Bible is real. The events in the Bible are real. Jesus was, is, and always will be real. And he loves you. And he died for you. And that's the truth. Keep on digging, everybody.